蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
说到牧师的孩子，我们的第一印象就是他们会循规守矩，熟悉圣经。似乎牧师的孩子就应该比其他的孩子更懂事，也更属灵，也更应该去神学院进修，做神的忠心仆人。不知道从什么时候开始，我们就给这群孩子贴上了听话的标签。你现在收听到的是良友电台的双语节目《蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today》，我是乐心，和我一起主持的是Charles Morris。 没错了，牧师的孩子确实会让人觉得特殊一些，我们难免就会对他们产生更高的期待。但是他们是不是就真的和我们期待的那样，按部就班的读神学，然后在教会侍奉，最后也按例成为牧师呢？事实告诉我们并非如此。今天的蓝天绿洲将进入全新的系列，叫做拥抱你的浪子。也许你已经看过了《回来吧，芭芭拉》这本书，它讲述的是一个离家出走的女儿如何影响以及伤害父母，最终呢，在上帝的爱中和好如初的一个真实故事。它也让我们切实地体会到了爱一个使你心碎的人到底意味着什么。故事中的主人公芭芭拉就是我们今天还有明天两天节目的特邀嘉宾。稍后呢，我们就会听到 Charles 对芭芭拉的访问。
Welcome to Haven Today. I'm Charles Morris, and I'm here to share the great story with you that's all about Jesus. We're starting a new series called Embracing Your Prodigal. The story of the prodigal son, possibly the most famous parable Jesus ever told, is full of grace.And I think it resonates with Christians because we know that we were all prodigals. We were all born astray, each one choosing to go our own way. No matter how outwardly rebellious you were or maybe even are, deep down inside, we all share the heart of a rebel running from the Lord.
I just thought my parents and their religious beliefs were standing in the way of my social life. I wanted to have friends, I wanted to have fun, I wanted to do what felt good. And I saw my parents' rules as just outdated and unnecessary.
That's my good friend Barbara Giuliani, along with a few notes from the 1961 hit song Runaway by Del Shannon. Barbara will return in a moment to tell us more about her runaway story.And how God used her patient father and mother to pray for her and love her.
Oh, my soul, oh, how you worry, oh, how you weary from fearing you lost control. This was the one thing you didn't see coming, and no one would blame you, though. If you cried in private,You tried to hide it away so no one knows. No one will see if you stop bleeding. Oh, my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know.Here in
can be honest, I won't try to promise that someday it all works out. 'Cause this is the valley, and even now he is breathing on your dry bones. And there will be dancing, there will be beauty where beauty was ash and stone. This much I know.
And that was a brand new single from Casting Crowns, Oh My Soul. Well, I want to go to Philadelphia. I want to go to a conversation with a friend of mine, and her name is Barbara Giuliani. And Barb, welcome back to Haven Today.
Thank you, Charles. It's great to be here.
The name of the book that you and your late father wrote was Come Back, Barbara. Your first name is Barb. This is a book about you. You grew up in a large home in Philadelphia. There were five siblings in the family, your parents. Your dad was trying to teach at a seminary. He was trying to start a church at the same time. Were you the one that always wanted to kind of rebel?
Not at all. I was
You were compliant.
I was compliant. I always went along with everybody. I didn't actually like making waves. I didn't care for conflict at all. And my father was very, in his own sweet way, very much in charge of our home, and I never wanted to cross him. And I didn't really cross him until I left home at the age of 18 and announced that I wasn't a Christian and wasn't really planning on coming back.
So what led you, the compliant child at age 18, you get out of high school, to say, I'm not a Christian? Because you would have been thinking that for some years prior to that, I'm sure.
I was thinking for some years before I left that I was not a Christian. And I just had no way to express that to my parents. It wasn't part of our family system. Our family took great pride in who we were as Christians and that all of us were extremely articulate Christians. We went to a Christian high school, elementary and high school. And I did not think that a discussion of my faith would have been welcomed in my home. Or my lack of faith in this case. And I really think that reflecting on what was going on in my mind, I think basically I just thought my parents and their religious beliefs were standing in the way of my social life.
All right.
Okay. So I wanted to have friends. I wanted to have fun. I wanted to do what felt good. It was, you know, just at that time where our whole culture was sort of, people were giving up rules, and I saw myself very much as a part of that. I saw my parents' rules as just outdated and unnecessary.
This is interesting because typically we would have someone on and please tell me your story. And, oh, I was raised in the Christian home, and at the age of 4, I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I'm not one of those that really can say when I became a Christian, but I prayed this prayer at 4. But you had the perfect set of circumstances, and yet you were the one out of 5 that really didn't believe. But you're not alone in the world.
Yeah, there was more than one of us. I was the one that got to tell my story with my dad.
Right.
But I think, you know, I did pray those prayers. I did walk down the aisle. I always felt a need when I was younger to be saved. And I was always troubled by my sins.
But at 18, you wouldn't have seen yourself as a sinner then, would you?
No, I didn't. I think I really just gave up. I thought that being a Christian meant being perfect.
So you were trying to perform.
I was. And I saw my parents as perfect because I never saw them really do anything wrong that I could see. So I just didn't understand that Christians were sinners and that you had to be saved by Christ's death on the cross and that, you had to keep asking for that. You had to keep living a life of repentance and faith. I had no knowledge of that. And I honestly don't think my parents really did. And they would say that. My father, you know, has passed away and is with Jesus, but my mother would definitely say that now, that they didn't really understand the life of faith themselves, and they weren't able to share it with their children.
好，在这个地方呢，我们稍微暂停一下。箴言的22:6说，教养孩童使他走当行的道，就是到老他也不偏离。很多时候我们会在儿童逐日学的房间看见这句经文。圣经说的这句话当然没有错了，只不过在实际的应用当中呢，我们也很难保证说，在儿童主日学长大的孩子，牧师家里长大的孩子就一定能够那么准确无误地被这么教导着。好像芭芭拉的分享说到的，乐心一点都不惊讶说，身为牧者的家长也会在教养孩童上面出现一些常规性的错误。试想一下，如果芭芭拉的父母真的是用那么充满恩典和耐心的教导，他们能够真实的活出基督的样式的话，那么作为孩子的芭芭拉又怎么会认为基督徒就是要过一个完美的生活呢？乐心，希望这么说没有让你理解为我在论断他的父母，我只是想说，这是在很多实际的情况之下，我们并没有教对，又或是我们教对了，可是我们自己却没能够做一个好的榜样，活出一个真实的生命出来，所以呢，就使得孩子们觉得大人其实是心口不一的，于是呀，就更加的认为基督徒是假冒伪善的人。有多少人对基督教的信仰存在误解，然后像芭芭拉那样认为这个信仰是拦阻我过快乐生活的绊脚石呢？类似的想法当然也包括了，为什么总是要讨论圣经呢？难道基督徒不看一下其他的有趣的书籍吗？或者还有这样的声音，你一定也听说过，教会里面本身就是男少女多了，如果一个基督徒的姊妹还坚持非得在教会来找丈夫的话，那成功的概率不就更小了吗？你看，某种程度上呀，我们会认为这个信仰妨碍了我们的正常生活，它似乎有太多的条条框框限制着我们，让我们的生活不能尽情的享受还有娱乐。你是否也有过类似的念头呢？我们继续来听他们的分享。
All right, let's go on. You made this very bold announcement, fourth in line of 5 children.Did you leave home? Did you go to college?
I went to college.
And you went off? You went away from home?
I went to college and moved right in with a boy that I met there and didn't come home again I came home briefly, maybe 5 years later for a couple of months, but didn't really live at home again.
That must have been a real trial because I'm thinking as a parent myself
and struggles. It was a grief for my parents, of course.
They were grieving.
They were.
But it probably led them to pray for you in a way that they had never prayed before, and to pray for themselves and their hearts never before.
Actually, what I did was very painful. And if one of my children did that to me, I'd be devastated. But God did use it in their life to sort of break open their whole system of what they thought it meant to be a Christian, and introduced weakness and brokenness and their daily need for Christ. It introduced all that to them because what their efforts had done hadn't worked out for them. The one thing my dad said to me that was so kind is when I left home and maybe 9 months later, I wrote them a letter and said, by the way, I'm living with my boyfriend this summer and I'm not coming home. Oh. So he drove up to see me and he sat down with me and he said, you know, it's hard to hear that, but God wants us to know the truth. So I'm glad that I know the truth about you. And I'm glad so I know who you are and how to pray for you. It was actually very comforting to me.
So maybe what? Dickinson College is a couple hours away, 2.5 hours away, something like that. And you almost stayed away from your family because were you a little afraid to be with your family, do you think?
I just really didn't want to be around any Christians. What I told myself was that Christians were hypocrites, although I always liked my parents. But I didn't really think they were hypocrites.
You didn't hate your parents,
at least.
I didn't
at all.
All right.
But I didn't feel comfortable around them. And I think, you know, looking back on it, I think my conscience bothered me when I was around my parents. So that's not comfortable. And of course, when you're relating to a child who has left the faith and yet they've grown up knowing the truth of who God is and who they are in God, they're not going to really want to be around people who remind them of the things that they're trying to really close their heart and their mind to.
And what about your siblings then? Were they reaching out to you at all during
they
this
did.
Time?
I mean, it was looking back, it's just amazing the way my family responded to me because they just worked really hard at having a relationship with somebody who didn't really want a relationship with them. And that's hard. It's so easy to feel rejected and angry. But all of them worked at being in my life, at helping me whichever way they could. They all asked me for forgiveness for different things. And I was really the one that was acting badly. So it was an amazing thing what they did.
可以想象得到，当家庭中出现了一个另类的成员，给全家人带来麻烦和痛苦，并且彼此以双方为羞耻时，这会是多么的让人伤心还有痛苦。身为孩子的芭芭拉声称不想和基督徒靠近，而且呢，和自己的父母生活在一起会觉得特别的别扭不自在。那么，作为父母又会有怎样的感受呢？在《回来吧，芭芭拉》这本书当中呢，身为父亲的约翰·米勒就写道，在为女儿祷告的事情上，他们身为父母自身的态度是如何转变的。在此之前，约翰·米勒和太太罗斯玛丽的祷告是：主啊，求你拯救芭芭拉；父啊，求你使他归回你的怀抱吧；上帝呀，求你保护他脱离罪恶；求你带他回家。可是后来他们就发现了，如果祷告的时候不是按照上帝的应许来祷告的话，那么做父母的呢，很容易就会按着自己的角度来呼求神了。想一想看，受尽折磨的父母在为孩子祷告的时候，他的脑海当中想的都是什么？父母常常有的是挫败感。用约翰·米勒的话来说，这种的挫败感就像是一片乌云笼罩在他的头顶一样，久久不能够散去。即使做父母的已经原谅了儿女，也确实很爱他们，但是那种的挫败感就像是影子一样的，随时都跟着他们。父母通常对孩子会有一个固定的负面印象，就是认为这个孩子呀是不会改变了，而这个坏的印象会随着孩子一次又一次的失败而不断的加深。就好像父母的眼睛一闭上，就马上看到了孩子的叛逆行为、叛逆的言辞，或者是看到了孩子叛逆的表情。魔鬼非常知道如何利用这个印象来削弱祷告的效果。当然，这些不小心的父母认为，孩子那个冷酷拒绝的形象是不可能改变的，这个孩子始终呀都会保持在这种形象之上。 如果做父母的不觉醒，并且父母听信了魔鬼的谗言的话，那么自然就会把注意力集中在孩子的倔强上，这样的祷告当然就很难产生果效了。
So your dad had come to see you, your mom was trying to stay in touch, your siblings were trying to ask for forgiveness, and then what happened? You were in this other relationship.
Well, I would say that, you know, as my parents and my siblings were being faithful and loving me well, my life just went from bad to worse.
Mm.
So mm-hmm. the guy that I moved in with, I lived with him for a year and a half, and then mm-hmm. we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And after about a year and a half of being married, I was just desperately unhappy.
Mm.
And I had dropped out of school to get married. So I left him and met a man who was actually a drug dealer and moved in with him.
And that was home in Philadelphia.
And that was back in this area. So, and that relationship lasted for another 3 years. It was a very mm-hmm. destructive part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, I actually just got sick of being such a mess and thought, well, I don't want to be a Christian, but maybe I could actually just be productive like my parents are.
And how were they responding to you?
They stopped by all the time. My father shared the gospel with whatever drug dealer happened to be in the room when he was there. And I remember one time very clearly, we were sitting talking, all these guys were there, and my father came in and he sat down and he just started telling like all of his stories about how people became Christians and how God was at work. And it was, to me, it was very old hat, but to them, it was completely fascinating. And when he left, I remember one friend of mine looked at me and said, "Your father is a complete piece of work." I always thought that was the best description of him. So, you know, they loved us. And Come Back Barbara, one of the things that people criticized my parents for was that they loved us too well.
Hmm.
And
you mean they should have taken a firmer hand with you?
Exactly. A firmer stance,
as
if that would have helped me. But in any case, my dad says in Come Back Barbara that they decided if they were going to make a mistake, it would be on the side of loving too much.
Hmm.
I would not say from my perspective that that was ever a mistake.
Hmm.
And a lot of people heard about Jesus who never, ever would have heard about him.
Hmm.
And I still pray for some of those people today.
If you just joined us, we're talking to Barbara Giuliani, but she was Barbara Miller Giuliani, and she wrote a book with her late father, Jack Miller, called Come Back Barbara. How'd the Lord finally break through to you?
Well, I would say that it was a long process.
Mm-hmm.
I think it began with me just not wanting to be as messed up as I was. And that was really a direct result of my parents' prayers.
Mm.
I was living with this guy that was a drug dealer, and I was going back and forth about whether I should leave him or not. And one morning, and I swear this is true, I got up and I was like, I'm out of here. And I just packed my bags and left. And my father said to me later, he said, I just started praying that you would leave him.
Mm.
And he didn't know that he was a drug dealer. So he didn't know, like, all the reasons I should have left him immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he always wondered if I should marry him, you know, because we were together.
Right.
But he just had a sense that I should leave, and he started praying that way. And it was just like the Holy Spirit just grabbed me. But so in my quest to become a productive member of society, which mm-hmm. I hadn't actually done that yet in my life, I went back to college and started working and supporting myself. And I met a man who was bartending where I was waitressing.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved in with him, which was very mm-hmm. disappointing to my parents because they thought I was getting myself back together.
Mm-hmm.
And now here I was in another relationship. So,
mm-hmm.
but they really like only skipped a beat. And then they were right back in there sharing mm-hmm. the gospel, welcoming us in, loving mm-hmm. us. And so I graduated from Temple University, went to California to work on my doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
And
you started at Stanford.
I did, mm-hmm. yes. So before I left, my father was on his way to Uganda. And it was right after Idi Amin had been deposed and the country was very unstable. And he was afraid that he might die there. A lot of mm-hmm. people were. So he tried to have a conversation with me about faith, which always went very badly, responded very poorly to anything he said to me about faith. And so he started out by saying, I don't want to take you to heaven with me as a beautiful memory.
Mm.
So I can see from your face, you think that's so sweet, but I took such offense to it and just started to yell at him like, you think I'm going to hell and that's what's wrong with our relationship. And
this is so part of the it went south quickly.
It went south so quickly. My father actually just stopped talking at all, which was very unusual for my father. And that really took me by surprise. And then he said to me, I know that you can't make yourself into a Christian, but how about if you just pray that if God was real, he would show himself to you? Mm. And for the first time, I thought, well, he never said anything like that to me before. Uh-huh. And it was very encouraging to me to realize that my father knew that I couldn't just make a choice and believe in something I didn't believe in.
Right.
Like my parents always would say things to me, and then, you know, God said this or that, and I'd be like, what are they talking about? Mm. Like, I've never heard God say a word or do a thing. Mm-hmm. So I did pray that. And then I
that
went.
That was the beginning.
And that was,
perhaps.
That really was the beginning of my relationship with God, was to pray that.
Barb Giuliani, we're going to have you back on the program tomorrow. We're going to tell people in a minute about Come Back, Barbara, the book, which I've got to tell our listeners is the best book I've ever read on a prodigal. It's about your life. So thanks for joining me here on the program today.
You're welcome.
The cruelest word. Coldest heart, the deepest wound, the endless dark, the lonely ache, the burning tears, the bitter nights, the wasted years. Life breaks and falls apart. But we know these are places where grace is soon to be so amazing. They may be unfulfilled, they may be unrestored, but when laid before the Lord, just watch and see, and will not be. Just watch and see, and will not be.
Perfect song for us today, Unredeemed by Selah. Here's we begin a brand new series called Embracing Your Prodigal.
拥抱你的浪子，不知道听完第一集节目之后，是不是会让你有冲动想买一本《回来吧，芭芭拉》这本书呢？往往真实的故事会感动我们。芭芭拉在1972年的7月份开始决定离弃她的信仰，直到1979年的年底才真正的浪子回家。这个期间差不多有7年的时间，我相信对他自己以及对他的父母还有其他的家属来说呢，每一天都不容易，每一天都需要仰望神的恩典和寻求神的帮助。芭芭拉在改变，他的父母又何尝不是在改变呢？如果他们的故事能够成为容神一人的见证，乐心也盼望你能够被神的爱吸引回家。如果现在你正在外面漂流游荡的话，这个就是今天蓝天绿洲的全部节目内容了，也非常谢谢你的收听。听完节目之后，如果你有任何的感受，都欢迎你透过短信1322-996-622来和乐心或是和 Charles 分享的。短信的开头请你加上蓝天。明天的时间我们不见不散，愿神祝福你，拜拜。
Oh my soul, oh how you worry, oh how you weary from fearing you lost control. This was the one thing you didn't see coming in.